All right, getting to this one kind of late.
Well, it's not that late.
Yeah, later than it was yesterday, though.
Yeah, that's true.
We saw a pretty good documentary last night on, what was that? It was Netflix, right?
Yeah,
it was about LSD.
Called Have a Good Trip.
Yeah.
Adventures in Psychedelics.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, it had all these celebrities and stuff and like, you know, some, I guess some scientists. It wasn't really a scientist. It had Deepak Chopra.
Yeah, he's not a scientist.
No, he's a pseudo-intellectualist and spiritualist. They're talking about their LSD trips over the years. And it's funny, they had some old army propaganda films about
the dangers of it.
You could take it and just go crazy one time.
Go jumping out a window.
Yeah. Doesn't work that way.
Well, I know. It's like, well, those fucking old drug films like always crack me up, man. It's just like, you know, the very famous one, fucking Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
Which they did on MST or on Rift Tracks, rather. And it's just like, it's like they clearly don't know anyone that smokes pot because nobody in Reefer Madness behaves in any way the way people on pot behave.
They told them to behave like that. They were just like, it was scare tactics.
Yeah.
Don't try this, kids.
Yeah.
It's bad
it's
for
like,
you.
Look, even though I have to say that like some of the shit they were doing in the movie, I'm like, well, I don't think that would encourage anybody away from it because they look like they're having a good time.
It was funny like... It's funny because like a lot of the anti-weed ones, you know, they're talking about how bad weed was and the guys narrating it and the people that are saying this are fucking pounding a half a fucking fifth of vodka a day.
Yeah, which
or
is
half a fifth of whiskey a day.
Clearly way worse than you. And this is coming from somebody that likes to drink and I don't particularly like pot because I've only done it a few times, but it never, because you know how some people are like, they like pot because it kind of mellows them out and shit. Yeah. I have like the exact opposite reaction. It just makes me super, super paranoid and self-conscious and I kind of hate it.
It was a generational thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Old people, like my grandparents' age, were afraid of anything. They didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, that's got to be fucking really bad.
You all are hopped up on the goofballs.
Yeah. You know, Mexicans do that. It's got to be bad. A lot of people don't know that, like, a lot of people don't realize that, like, out west in the California, Nevada, that area, you know what I mean? Fucking weed was there going back to the 1800s.
Well, yeah.
And Mexicans would bring it and sell it, you know, and they'd sell it to, you know, call it wacky tobacco. It had all kinds of fucking weird old-fashioned names for
it.
Hemp, you know, Mary Jane, marijuana.
Marijuana.
Yeah. And, you know, Mexicans would sell it and cowboys would buy it and they'd smoke it. They didn't have a problem with it. It wasn't until much later that, you know what I mean, that they tried to ban it. And I think it's because they couldn't tax it.
Probably. Although, it finally we're getting around to, like, fucking legalizing the shit now. It's like, for Christ's sake, look how long it took.
I think it had more to do with the fact that, you know, local governments couldn't tax it because it wasn't really an American product. And the way it was being imported in was, like, on people's backs. So it was hard to do legal importation and get so they can get their cut of the fucking, you know what I mean, cut of the profits. But alcohol was being produced in the United States and they could tax that. It was in the system.
Yeah, so maybe.
So
it might have been a case where, because you know how all the demonization that happened around, say, absinthe?
Right.
That was mostly the propaganda behind that. So it would make you hallucinate and all this other kind of shit, which is
bullshit.
Largely untrue. That was usually the wine manufacturers that were putting that forward. They were trying to, like, scare people away from drinking absinthe because it was cutting into their market share.
Yeah, and guess what? Guess by what mechanism they did this? Fake news. They did it with fake news. They hired newspaper articles to write fucking scary shit, scary stories about absinthe to get to keep people away from buying absinthe. Wanted them to buy fucking sherry and wine and stuff. And which is so stupid because guess where the absinthe drinking came from? The French army.
Yeah.
The French army was issuing it to their own troops as water purification.
Yeah.
They knew it was safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason why people were drinking is because veterans would come back and they liked the taste of that absinthe.
They developed a taste for it, sure.
Yeah. And when they were in service, they would just pour it into a canteen to kill all the bacteria and drink it. But they also found this shit, you know, it's good straight too. But I think they mostly mixed it.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I think they mixed it with things.
I can see why nowadays when people drink it, even though the formula isn't really the same as it was, like, the kind of the classic absinthe back in the day, but nowadays people usually water it down or put sugar in it. And I can see why they do that, because it is very, very, very bitter. Like, even ones that you can buy, I don't know if you can get it anymore, but like the company I used to work for had one called Lucid that they distributed. And it's good, but I can't really get down more than a glass of it because it's very, I don't like that flavor, that licorice-y.
Yeah.
You have to really kind of be into that flavor.
Which is funny because they assumed, nobody knew in modern times what absinthe tasted like. They assumed it was kind of anise flavored or black licorice flavored. But I saw a documentary on it, I guess it's about 10 years now. They found a bottle of the original shit and they auctioned it off. And they had two of the largest absinthe makers fucking in a bidding war behind that sealed bottle. Because they wanted to know what it tasted like. And one side won, and then they take it back to their laboratory and had all these tasters and everything there getting ready to taste this shit. And they opened it up and they were just like, oh, yeah, okay. Very different than what we thought.
Yeah.
It's just kind of buttery flavor.
Which, see, if it was buttery, that sounds better.
Yeah, so it was... And, you know, they said it basically shattered all their expectations of what they thought absinthe was supposed to taste like. They thought it was supposed to taste like strong and aromatic and you know, kind of like anise with a bunch of
herbs
and shit. Yeah. And no, it was kind of like a buttery, mellow flavor. And,
which that sounds delightful. I think I would drink absinthe all the time if that was how it tasted.
Yeah, and they only kind of knew... They only kind of knew some of the ingredients, you know, like I said, well, wormwood was in it, but evidently that was kind of open to debate because the recipes that they had written down were not necessarily from like firsthand accounts of what was in it. It was kind of like old accounts of what they thought was in it.
Yeah.
But when they opened it, it just kind of had a buttery, smooth kind of flavor. It wasn't too fucking, what do you call it? It didn't taste like, what do you call them? It didn't taste like herbs.
Yeah.
It didn't taste herbal.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have a couple of books that kind of go into like the history of absinthe. I should reread them because they were actually really fascinating.
The guy that was doing the tasting for that company was like, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? So.
It's like, God damn it. We've been manufacturing this stuff to taste like licorice all this time. Yeah, but like.
Evidently, he wasn't too impressed with what it really did taste like. He didn't think it was that marketable.
Well, because maybe it was like nothing special.
It was nothing special, and he didn't think it was anything kind of marketable.
I mean, one thing about the modern iteration of absinthe is that it has a very distinctive flavor, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. What came out of that bottle didn't really have a distinctive flavor, he didn't think. He didn't sound too impressed with it.
Of course, like, you have to understand too that like the bottle was like really, really old.
It was really old.
So
right.
That might not be what it tasted like right out the gate. You
he
know
thought
I mean?
He knew what was in it from what I remember. And I haven't seen that documentary about 10 years.
I'd have to look
years.
That up again because that'd be fascinating.
But from what I remember, and this is like 10 years ago, he was pretty sure he knew what it was. And he was like one of these dudes that had like his tongue was worth millions of dollars. He was kind of like a super taster. He could tell you exactly what it was. And what he could replicate something based just on taste.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, now they could probably do like chemical analysis on it as well.
Well, they were going to do that too.
Yeah.
They were going to do that too, but evidently he was really good. Kind of, you know, those perfume smellers, like a smell perfume and tell you exactly what they used to do that. He was like that, but it was taste. And he thought he knew what it was, but he wouldn't say on camera.
Because he didn't want other people making it.
Yeah, well, they paid millions. I think they paid millions of dollars for that damn bottle.
Yeah, so they're like, we don't want to just blab it to everybody in the world, for Christ's sake. But yeah, so this documentary was like actually really, really good. Because it helped that they had all the people. It's basically just kind of like different. It's mostly comedians and then there was actors and stuff. Sting was on there. Yeah. Anthony Bourdain was on there, before he died, obviously. Carrie Fisher. And shit like that. And they were basically just like talking about their experiences with LSD, like whether they had good trips or bad trips, like some crazy shit. And then there was like a really funny, like they did like a modern reenactment of like one of the old like scare videos. It was supposed to be set in the 80s, I guess. And it was just like, that was pretty fucking hilarious, like with a bunch of comedians and stuff. But some of the fucking story, I mean, I was dying, like, some of the fucking stories.
Rosie Perez's story.
Oh, my God, that was a good one.
She's just a little
short. She got dosed.
Yeah.
She didn't do it on purpose.
She was in this club in New York. You know, I don't know if you know who she is. She's this little short, cute Puerto Rican chick with big boobs. And
she was just in Birds of Prey, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think she was. And she got dosed and was on her back on the dam. She thought the wooden floor was water, and she backstroke and swimming in it. And she didn't realize it, but her top was off. And everybody was marveling. And she goes, "Mom, my boobs look really good." It's kind of funny.
And then she said, well, she said it was really funny because I guess the bartender had dosed her.
Yeah.
Like at this club. And
well, he thought she knew.
Yeah, because he kept saying, "Are you sure you want more of this punch, like fruit punch?" You know, she's like, "Yeah, it's really good." But so she didn't realize that she was like tripping on acid. And so she's like swimming through the dance floor. She gets home and she's like, she lays down in the bed. And she thought that her body had like become the mattress.
Yeah.
And she's like, "So I'm getting up to go to the bathroom and I'm like going down the hall like that," because she thought that she was a mattress.
I've never had it that bad.
I'm like, that was some good shit. It's like, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it just seemed like most of the people, you know, some of the people that had done it a lot, you know, like Sting or Anthony Bourdain or somebody like that, that had done it a bunch of times, they did say that they had had bad things happen. But Sting actually said, "Whenever I had a bad trip," he's like, "I, you know, it was scary at the time, but then later on I thought, well, I guess I needed to see that, or I needed that to go on."
Because he had to have his ego taken down a notch.
Yeah, which I guess I was like, well, that's kind of a good way of looking at it, I guess.
Well, he's a snotty fucker.
He is, but he was like, he was entertaining on this. Yeah. Everybody was entertaining on this. Like, everybody had really good stories, and none of them were, like, horrifying or anything like that, other than fucking Anthony Bourdain, and that one was... with him and like the girl that they thought was that they thought died or whatever. That was kind of horrifying.
Yeah, good. Yeah, cool celebrity getting high stories.
Yeah, they were very, very funny. Yeah. I always like to watch stuff about people's LSD experiences.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I never found it, you know, if I've only done it once, but I had a very positive experience. And I could see how because they had like a doctor on there who I guess he's doing like some studies. You know, I guess they've a few years ago they started like studying it to, you know, treat some types of mental illnesses and stuff like that. Yeah. And I said I could totally see how it in certain people and with certain ailments it could relieve stress and anxiety and stuff like that, because, you know, one of the things that it does, maybe it doesn't do this to everybody, but one of the things that it does is it kind of makes you feel like everything's going to be okay, man. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it gives you, like, perspective on, like...
So it's also all that introspection, though. You can, you know, you can weed out your own problems and throw out a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
A lot of things can be resolved in the unconscious and the subconscious by taking that, as long as you're around the right people. You know what I mean? You got to be around friends, or you have to fucking know what you're doing with it. It's not for everybody.
But
you know, under supervision is very effective. You know, evidently, and I could see why, because I've known actually guys who are addicted to certain things. You could take acid, and when they come off of acid, they're no longer addicted to whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, if you approach it, and they did kind of like some of the people that had done it, like some of the comedians and stuff that were talking about it. If you approach it with the right mindset.
Yeah.
And you kind of like see it as a sort of mind altering thing, or, you know, whatever. I do think it does help you sort out some shit.
Treating addiction, treating fucking PTSD, you know, it's good for certain things. Indians have known all about it for fucking thousands of years.
Yeah, and I can totally see how it would be effective for some people doing that. Because like I said, it's, you know, I really liked it because it like chilled me way the fuck out. And I was like, and I definitely felt like everything's all right.
Psychic visions, visions of the future, visions of the past, visions of possible futures, all kinds of weird shit. Shit, Mesoamericans, you know, used it forever. The Mayans, the Aztecs, they knew all about it. They knew all about psychotropics.
Well, it was legal up until, what, the early 60s, I want to say?
Yeah, it was legal up until like almost the 70s.
Yeah, I think it...
Some people were abusing it, but they weren't abusing it the baddest.
Yeah, but that happens with everything.
People abuse everything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
People wreck cars. It's not... Yeah. You don't want to drive on the shit.
Yeah, they had a couple stories about that.
I've done it. Done it as a kid. As long as you don't think about it, it works out okay. just don't want to fucking think too much about it. Just let your autonomic nervous system take over.
Yeah, I was laughing at some of the people out there that were talking about I was just doing this. Like, he's like, I had the feeling that I could just look out the window. I didn't even have to be here, like, driving the shit. I'm like, uh-oh.
Now, when we were kids, we used to drive on it. Didn't have a problem.
Yeah.
You just have to have the right mindset. It's like I said, you can't fucking freak yourself out.
And I do think, too, because they kind of went into this, and actually, you told me this prior, and I'd heard it from other people. It's like, well, it's probably a good idea, like, not to look in a mirror, just because sometimes, like, seeing your own reflection will kind of, like, weird you out, or, like, your face might start doing weird shit, or...
I've done this several dozen times over the years, you know, but you can look in the mirror just to... It's best when you're experienced. Some people will look in the mirror on purpose. Remember, like that guy said, he was having out-of-body experiences and becoming one with the earth. And,
and he thought it was super cool.
Thought it was great. Yeah. You can do it that way, too. But when you're kind of new to it, you don't want to stare too much in the mirror because you do look funny.
Yeah.
You look funny. You know what I mean? It might blow your mind too much.
Yeah, I think that's why they discourage it. Like for
But, you know, after you've done it a few times, you understand what a hallucination is.
Yeah.
I hallucinate tripping my balls off and shit. And I don't believe any of my hallucinations. I know it's a hallucination.
Well, that's one of the coolest things that I found about LSD was that in a way it's like being drunk in the sense that it like, you know, like a good drunk, whereas you're like kind of chilled out. You're not anxious about anything, but you're totally lucid at the same time.
Because
sometimes,
fully aware,
because sometimes when you get drunk, like sometimes you'll forget stuff like, oh man, I don't remember everything that I did last night. And that happens, you know, even when you don't drink all that much. But LSD, I remember, like, you see weird shit, but you know that it's not real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, at least I did.
I mean, you know, I'm sitting there looking at the laptop, looking at old David Bowie videos and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I remember that.
And I'm having like a psychic experience, you know, David Bowie talking to me.
Yeah.
Sending me messages and shit. I'm understanding Bowie. I got a personal relationship with Bowie through the fucking screen, you know? But I know I'm tripping.
Yeah.
I just roll with it anyway. I don't fight anything. I just roll with it.
Well, that's what kind of what you have to do.
Yeah, just,
And I mean, I remember thinking that I was a werewolf.
Yeah.
Not really thinking that I was a werewolf.
But you were like one.
But like a werewolf.
Yeah, yeah.
And wanting to go out and be a werewolf.
I remember that.
He said,
don't you go outside. Don't
he
go
was
outside.
Trying to keep me from going outside.
She was
going to
go fucking dig around out in the den.
I was. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
And I've kind of, and it's funny because I was trying to message my friend over Messenger. Because she was like, had been asking me about it. And so I was like trying to tell her like in the moment, like what it was like what I was experiencing. And, my laptop just kept going, and like I could, and like my fingers looked really long. So I was having a hard time typing. Yeah. So after a while I just had to call her.
That's all like, just like visual distortions. It's like visual distortions.
Yeah.
It's
it wouldn't be still long enough for me to type.
That's really not what it's about. It's really, you want to go introspective with it and go inward. That's, you know, putting on blindfolds and stuff like that, doing it at night and laying down. That's, you start going in and having visions and, you know, seeing futures, and it's weird, you know. But it's just, it's the same thing your mind does when you're dreaming. It's just that you're awake and it's a lot more intense, and you can control it when you get a certain amount of experience.
Yeah.
Be like being able to control your dreams, which I've had that happen a couple of times. I'm in the dream, I know I'm dreaming, and then I cause the dream to become something I want it to be.
Lucid dreaming.
Yeah. But then after a while, though, you wear it out. It's like when you try to control it too much, you wake up.
Yeah.
Well, LSD's like that, but you don't wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good if you know how to use it. Indians know how to use it, man. Spirit walking. Going into the spirit world. It's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I can see why it's used to really widespread.
Yeah, I've taken it, you know, on occasions and done stuff, and realizations have, you know, come over me like, oh, that person actually isn't my friend. Oh, this person did this. You know what I mean? It kind of like, because the unconscious mind starts sending you damn signals.
Yeah.
And starts connecting dots that you and your waking self didn't connect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like you said, in some ways, the way sometimes when you're dreaming, like sometimes you'll wake up and you'll be like, oh, you figured out that
figured
problem.
Figured something out.
Like
right.
While your brain was sleeping. It's the same type of thing, except you're not
A lot of this
sleeping.
Badass music people are way into comes from that.
Yeah.
It comes from LSD. They're taking it.
Yeah.
You know, the Police and fucking Sting. LSD doing that shit.
Yeah, fucking, he went the whole fucking nine yards, man. He went down to fucking, he climbed the mountain and got blood poured on his head.
Yeah.
Did all that shit.
The Cure.
Yeah.
That's all LSD type music. The Beatles, fucking Rolling Stones.
Well, yeah, all that shit.
You can innovate art real well on it. If you're an artistic person, you don't have any artistic talent, you're not going to be that good. But
that's not going to help you.
You get a person who's a trained musician and, you know, they already have musical talent. You give them that and they'll fucking come up with some wild shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True that.
And I guess people that are into movies, that directors and writers can do it too. They come up with Mandy. That was a fucking bizarre ass movie. I fucking love that movie. That's an acid trip. That movie was an acid trip.
It seriously was.
It was like a bad trip.
Yeah, big time.
It's like a bad trip, yeah.
Yeah, so the only other thing I wanted to mention was because I just now read an article about this. Apparently, this happened in Tennessee, and I guess it was like a vacation cabin or something, and this woman or these two women were staying there. And evidently, these black bears, between 5 and 11 of them, broke into the house. Like little burglars, like the doors were locked, but they somehow got in. I don't know if they could pick the locks or what. These are like the bears are taking over, you guys. And they came in the house, kind of trashed it. Not like trashed it. They left all the furniture okay, but they like knocked over a bunch of stuff and scratched the walls and everything. And then they stole like just tons and tons of candy. They stole like 5 pounds of Reese's peanut butter cups. Like a whole bunch of like gummy bears or gummy worms or something. They took some beer. they just took bags and bags and bags of candy and like fucking took off with the shit. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Bears did it.
Fucking bears like breaking in your house and taking all your candy.
Well, they got their paws are kind of like hands. They got pretty good dexterity and then how to open things. You know, they'll open doors. I mean, Jenny remembers, you know, we saw one. I stopped one from getting in somebody's garage because they can...
Yeah, he was heading for the fridge.
For the fridge. To open the fridge.
I'm going to go over
here. They can open a fridge. They can open a car door.
Yeah, I've heard of them opening car doors as well.
They know about car doors.
So, yeah, that's...
If it's unlocked, they'll be sitting there trying to open it.
Which now I kind of wonder, it's like, because sometimes, because we have black bears around here, it's like, what if we left one of the doors open or the sliding glass door or something like that, they could probably open that and just walk right through these walls right
there. Yeah. Yeah, a bear would also has the intelligence to know that some doors might slide open.
Yeah, they're totally not dumb. And like I said, it's like, hey.
Now you reminded me of that. You need to start locking, make sure that shit's locked.
Now that I've heard about that, because this lady said the cabin door was locked. Yeah. And it was like 5 bears.
They got them on video, man. They'll come into a house through an open window and go right up to the refrigerator. Just open
it. And just open it and just start taking shit out.
They'll be in there in the middle of the damn kitchen, sitting down, tubs of ice cream and shit. Eating ice cream and people run in and yell at them and they're just like, hey, what's up? What's up? Yeah, food. Want
just,
some?
Just helping myself.
Yeah, you want some? They won't leave. You want some of this? They're trying to be friendly. They're not even, you know, being mean. They're being friendly. Hey, food. It's great.
Well, they just figure there's food in there. Food for everybody. Food for everybody. That's communal food.
Yeah.
So the bears can have it.
Look what I found in your house.
This is really good. Yeah, you got any more of the shit?
Well, that's the facial expressions. You can find that shit on YouTube. The facial expressions and body language is just, look what I found.
Yeah.
Did you know this was here? You want some of this? I'll share it with you.
Get a spoon.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't know any better.
No.
They're
like
children.
That's what I mean. It just kind of cracks me up that these five, it was a little bear gang and they just came in and they didn't take any like food. All they took was candy and beer and soda.
Because it smells.
Yeah. Because it's nice. It's so.
They probably know about getting drunk. They'd probably know that there's sweet stuff in those cans. So they just
Now I do know that.
I guess they can open it.
Yeah, I would imagine. I do know that particularly apes like chimpanzees and stuff like that, they will drink alcohol if you give it to them. And actually some that have been raised with humans like Nim Chimpsky and those like chimpanzees and stuff, they are absolutely capable of going in a fridge and getting a beer and opening it and sitting in front of the TV and drinking a beer.
Yeah, I saw a video of a guy down in South Africa, white dude, and he had a chimpanzee, an old chimpanzee that lived up in a tree. And he didn't know where it came from or anything. It's just an old chimpanzee. And he's at night would set a fire and chimpanzee'd come out the tree and he'd give the chimpanzee a beer and they'd sit there and drink beer together and get fucked up. And then he'd hand, and then when it was, when the beer was done, he'd hand a chimp a blanket, and he'd take it up to the top of a tree and sleep in the blanket. And he lived in that tree next to the guy's house. It was just an aww, old chimp that showed up, an old male chimp. He's like, weird, huh?
Guess you got
he'd
beer.
He'd sit in a folding chair and everything, just sit there and look at the fire and drink, just like he was a man.
Just like a person.
Yep. And he could take the top off the bottle of beer and everything. It looked like it was, I think it was Corona. He was drinking. You could take the top off. And a dude sitting next to him drinking, they're both staring into the fire together. Like, like it's just chill.
It's like, know? I'm communing with normal, the animal kingdom, man. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I was reading something about, you know, one of the famous chimpanzees that had been, you know, mostly raised around people. And they said that he would just come in the house, even if you locked the house up, he would just come in the house in the middle of the night. He would just truck on in there, open the fridge, get some beer out. He'd turn on the TV and he'd sit on the couch and watch TV, like drinking beer. Yep. Just like a little person.
Yeah.
Fucking funny.
Well, that's all I got. I got. You got anything else, Jenny?
I don't think so. That's all right. Probably all we got to talk about today. Yeah. So anyway.
We'll talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah. Have a good rest of your Wednesday.
Yeah. Like, hey, share, and subscribe, people. Yeah.
Do like you always do. Yep. And we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.